time to shoot the breeze with Alex Chelios on 3BA. How you going, Alex?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. So how's the weather where you are?
It's not too bad. How's the weather where you are?
Yeah, look, right now, I'll look out the window. It looks quite lovely, but they're saying we'll probably get rain and maybe hail later, and then a cold change is coming through and it's going to be windy.
Nice.
So it's kind of like the ingredients for winter, even though it's not winter yet.
It's not winter. Yeah, I mean, I love winter. I'm a big winter person.
Me too. Some people I can understand don't like it, but I love it. It's my favourite time of the year. Well, autumn, winter, coming into spring. Summer's the only season I'm not a fan of because I don't like the heat.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, whereas other people are the complete opposite, and it's all good. Okay, so let's talk about some interesting subjects today. One about my private thoughts being known by others.
Yeah, I mean, you might have heard that neural mesh, which is a form of connecting your brain to the internet, it's a little bit similar to brain, but it just uses a different function. There are concerns because you've got companies like Neuralink, which is led by Elon Musk, who are talking about using more and more of these technologies in our brains as a way of merging the human mind with artificial intelligence. Now, Musk is saying that he would do this with a neural implant, and a lot of psychologists are saying that there are a lot of biomedical ethical issues around this that aren't being considered. One specific issue is that of advertising. So if you have a neural implant that's capable of understanding all of your thoughts, it wouldn't be so far-fetched to consider that that data can be downloaded and sold to an advertiser to determine how you would shop and what you would do in terms of purchasing or product acquisition.
Yeah, no one needs to know what goes on in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And also, you'd be, can you imagine the type of advertising you would get if it was based on every single thing that you're thinking during the day? It would be a lot.
Coffee, chocolate, coffee, cat. Yeah, but there's other thoughts in my mind that I don't need out there.
No, I don't think people will advertise. Like, I mean, I think it really comes down to advertising. But the other sort of more crucial problem, which could be quite serious, would be that of government getting access to that data.
Yeah.
How you're voting, knowing what would likely change your mind.
Yep.
That's where it becomes really dangerous.
Yeah, and I don't think I really want any chips in me just yet either, so I'm all good.
I mean, I'm not as concerned with the chip side because there's different reasons why somebody would have a microchip.
Yeah.
I mean, so for example, in Sweden, a lot of people are using microchips as a way to access the office. So they just swipe their hand against the scanner and they can go into their office or they could use the photocopier or whatever they need. But, yeah, it's definitely the brain is a totally different ballgame.
See, for me, if I had dementia or Alzheimer's, I could understand a chip so they could find you, but that's it. I don't need it to enter an office. That just freaks me out.
Yeah.
So what about using your favourite song as your alarm clock?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is a lot of science behind what inspires somebody and significantly increases feelings of feeling positive and excited and motivated. And a particular study looked into, you know, what happens when a person wakes up and has a lot of coffee or is exposed to light or has a nice shower. And what they found was that something that really impacted, you know, morning grogginess, so to speak, was listening to a song that inspired you. So, for example, if a particular song that you loved played as you woke up, you were more likely to feel positive about the day. You were more likely to be more productive that day. So they had a melodic alarm that was studied across different participants in this particular piece of research in the control groups, and they found that using a classic alarm without a song was less effective than using an alarm that had a song that the control group liked.
See, I use an alarm clock, not my watch. I mean, my watch, my phone. A lot of people use their phone. So my alarm clock is set to 3BA because I can't handle that buzzing noise that clocks and phones make. It does my head in, so I need music.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't use the normal sound. But I also don't even like the sound of the phone ringing.
Yeah, mine's on mute.
Yeah, I don't actually have any phone ring sounds except for one person. So it just, it's annoying.
Yeah. Well, to each their own. Now, this one I'm so fascinated about. Scientists have been able to translate spider webs into music.
Yeah. So originally this study was done as a way to generate synthetic signals to speak the language of the spider. They wanted to understand certain patterns of rhythms and vibrations and all of those things, and then how do you communicate with a spider, which was really what it was based on. And out of that, though, they were able to create music. So, for example, they were able to create what they call spider web sonification, which was the combined vibrations of individual strands that then was translated into noises and the sound of stringing music.
It's so cool. Have you heard any of the music yet?
I've heard a computer algorithm construction of it.
Yep.
It's not, you know, Gershwin, but you can imagine that being able to play a reconstructed web would sound a little bit like a harp.
Yep.
Or another string instrument.
Oh, wow, that's so cool. So, Alex, tell us, how can people find out what you're up to?
Come to thebigsmoke.com.au.
And, of course, PT will be back next week to chat to you, Alex. So you have a good one, okay?
Thanks, you too.